Going to use Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. Luke 24, verses 1 to 8 for our scripture text. I read primarily from the King James Version, though today I do have a scripture or two from the Amplified Version. I like the Amplified because it does just that. It amplifies upon the King James and helps us to have a greater understanding, appreciation for what is being written in the King James. So we're going to go to Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. If you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to pull them out. We preach right from the Word of God. We encourage those that are listening to us, whether it is audio, video, or sitting here this morning, take your Bible out and follow along with us this morning. Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. Luke 24, verses 1 to 8. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. They were carrying these to prepare the body of Christ. And they found the stone, that big stone, had been rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These were just not any two men. These were angels from heaven. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must first be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. And in verse 9, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. The previous week had started just fine. Fine enough. Jesus had been welcomed to Jerusalem with shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It was quite a procession. If you know your Bible story, those that were lining the streets and thronging the road, they actually put palms down so Christ could ride over them. And in some cases, they even took their outer garments and laid them down. They gave him honor, honored him as the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But by the end of the week, things had changed. By the end of the week, Christ had been betrayed by one of his own disciples. He'd been tried and convicted, and he'd been put to death by crucifixion. The followers of Jesus were now heavy with grief. They were struggling with unbelief. They were fearful of what lay ahead. The empty tomb was the turning point for these followers of Christ. It was here they were ministered to by the angels who reminded them of the Master's teachings. It was here they received comfort. It was here they received hope. It was here they remembered his words and then went and told all the rest. The title of our message this morning, Remember His Words. Remember His Words. That empty tomb had great significance. It indeed was the turning point for these followers of Christ on that morning. But the empty tomb remains the turning point for every true follower, every true believer of Christ. And because we are human and prone to forget, we must be ministered to and reminded of the words of our Savior. Remember his words. We are rather forgetful, aren't we? As you get older, most of us become far more aware of that fact. It's so easy to forget. But even in our best of years, when our mind is the sharpest and the most bright, because we're human, we are capable of forgetting. And all the other things that accompany the fragile state of being human, the things we have to deal with, the fear, the anxiety, the dread, the sickness, the virus, all these things we're so susceptible to. I'll tell you, if there's anything we need to certainly source, we certainly need to access, we certainly need to read and remember, it is the words of our Savior. The airwaves are filled with news of this virus, of this pandemic, from New York City, amen, from the East Coast, amen, to the West Coast, and where is the latest hot spot? All the time, around the clock, news. And people are constantly tuning to the news to hear the latest, and they're waiting for some good news, and hopefully there will be more good news coming. But dear one, there is a place that you can turn any hour of the day, amen, any day, any week, any year, you can turn and hear the good news from God's word. You know, it says they remembered the Master's words. They remembered the words of Jesus Christ. And then after they remembered, they quickly ran to tell the 11, the disciples, and tell all the rest what they had seen, what they had heard, and what the angel has told to them. Remembering his words, it infers that we have first heard them. Remembering his words infers that we have read them, that we have studied the pages of God's holy word, and that we have taken those scriptures and hid them away in our hearts. Something special about the word of God. There's something special about the words of Jesus Christ. And as we go more into our message this morning, we hope to illustrate that and convey that to you so that you can receive that hope and comfort that comes only from God's word. Amen. So they remembered what Jesus had told his disciples. And I thought, we need to stop here. What had Jesus told his disciples? Exactly what did he tell them about this morning that had come upon the disciples, the followers of Jesus Christ, that early morning church? What had he told them? You know, Christ had told them many, many things, and he preached through parables, and he encouraged his followers, and he put judgment upon the Pharisee and upon the scribe. He called out sin, for the wickedness that it was, and he did everything that he could to encourage those that were weak in faith. He healed those that were ill. He laid hands on those that were full of the devil, and they were delivered. He did many, many things. But he also spoke very directly about what was going to happen to him and what his disciples should expect. In Luke 18 and verse 31, what had Jesus told his disciples? Well, it certainly wasn't anything new, because what he was telling his disciples had already been foretold by the prophets, and we'll get to that. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets, see, here's the prophets, the things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted upon. He was treated horribly, awful. And they shall scourge him. And there's a lot of big difference between being scourged and just being whipped. The scourge was a horrible, cruel punishment. It was torture. A man could only suffer so many lashes at the end of a scourge and hope to live. They scourged him. And then they put him to death. And the third day, he shall rise again. This is what he's saying. He says, it's going to come to pass. I'm telling you, but I'm telling you what the prophets have already recorded and have written. It's going to come to pass. In verse 34 of Luke 18, and they understood none of these things. The disciples couldn't comprehend it. They, for some reason, they just weren't able to wrap their heads around this. But they were going to. They were going to. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Said this was hid from them. There was a reason. There was a reason. The reason this was hid. So Christ was recounting what had already been written in the Old Testament by the prophets. And we turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 7. The prophet Isaiah writes in this chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 53, who hath believed our report? That is a good question. And that is a question that Paul repeats over in Romans when he's trying to deal with the brethren up there in Rome. He's trying to get the message across. Who hath believed our report? I ask that many times as a pastor of the Church of God, a minister in the Church of God. We speak about redemption, about living free from sin. We preach about being delivered from the clutches of the enemy. We preach about the end time. We preach about Christ's return, which is just pending. Oftentimes see unbelief. They don't see people moving. They don't move to Christ. They move away from Christ because they're all caught up in themselves. And I ask that question myself, and I believe that's been a question asked by many, many ministers over the years. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm now in verse 2 of chapter 53 of Isaiah. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted by grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Have you caught on to whom Isaiah is prophesying of? He's prophesying of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Jesus had told his disciples. This was going to come to pass. In verse 4, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He did this for us, dear one. He did this for us. As wicked, as sinful, as lost and undone as we were. Prior to salvation, thank God there was one, amen, the Lamb of God that could, be that perfect sacrifice. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the truth? And the Lord hath laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. In John 10, verses 15 to 18, as we continue with this thought, what exactly had Jesus told his disciples that they had forgotten, that they were not able to comprehend, that they had to remember? John 10, verse 15, 18. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. the sheep of his pasture, us. Amen. He laid down his life for us. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thank God for the oneness of God's church. Thank God for the oneness, amen, of the Spirit, the oneness of the Father. There is one Father, Paul writes about this, amen, one Father, amen, one faith, amen. Thank God for the oneness. He said, I have come that I might be able to save the Jew. And he wanted to save his own people. But he said, also, I've got other people. I've got other sheep that are not yet of this fold. And through my death, when I lay down my life and pick it back up again, I will make a way not only for the Jew, God's chosen people to be saved, but I will make a way for all mankind to come to him and be saved. Tremendous. Amen. I'm not a Jew by birth. I'm a Gentile by birth. And it would not have been for the plan of salvation. Amen. I would have been outside this ark. This ark of love, this ark of safety, this ark of compassion. But he gathered me into the one fold one day. Amen. He said, they shall hear my voice. And I'm glad I heard the voice one day. I heard the message preached. God dealt with my heart and I got saved. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that one shepherd is Jesus Christ. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. Amen. Christ volunteered. He was willing. And it was a struggle for him. You go back and read your Bible stories in the garden. Oh, he had to pray and pray and pray. He prayed. He was under such a heavy burden. It says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was under such a burden. But he finally prayed through and he committed it. And he said, thy will be done, Lord. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. I don't want to drink from this. I don't, Lord, the human, amen, I don't want to go. But, Lord, nevertheless, whatever your will is, I'm going to do it. No man took his life. He gave his life. He gave his life for me, and he gave his life for you, dear one. But that wasn't the end of it. He said, I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, verse 18, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Wonderful. This commandment have I received of my Father. Here's something else he had told his disciples. For whatever reason, they didn't remember. But he had told them. Luke 18, verse 31. Luke 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Here we go again. Said, this is what the prophets have written. This is what he's telling his disciples. It's going to come to pass. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Those of you who are listening, those of you that are watching this Easter morning, remember that the word of the Lord is sure. That which had been prophesied by the prophets and that which had been told by Christ himself to his people, to his disciples, it came to pass. It came to pass. You say, preacher, what significance does that have? It has great significance. Because, dear one, if you can believe, amen, the prophecy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that was put forth by Isaiah and others back in the Old Testament time, if you can believe the word of Jesus Christ, that it was his life to lay down to take up again the third day, amen. If you can believe in the resurrection, that the tomb did not hold him, that no one stole his body away, amen, but that he rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father, then dear one, you can have confidence in every bit of God's word. Praise the Lord. That's what's so important about the resurrection. That's what's so important about the resurrection. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Ezekiel 12 and 25 says, "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass." The Lord's word is sure. Whatever he speaks shall come to pass. And over in Luke 21 and 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I think these are scriptures that many know, especially those that have come up through a Sunday school someplace or another and have at times read their Bible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word of the Lord brings comfort and hope. And these ones that were carrying the spices and those things to prepare the body of Christ as it was supposed to be laying in the tomb, they find out that he was not there. The angels had spoken to him. They recounted what the words of the master were, amen, what Christ had said to them. And it immediately brought comfort and hope because their minds were opened up and a light bulb went on, so to speak. And they said, yes, yes, this is what he told us. This is how it would be. And what comfort and what hope came to their souls. They were dreading. They were being weighted down with fear and unbelief and the what ifs. What's going to happen to us now? But once they heard the word from the angels who ministered to them, there came comfort and hope. Listen, that's what we need right now. We live in a time of great distress. In this period of time in our country, this period of time in the world. Amen. Panic. Panic has gone more quickly around the globe than possibly the virus. I'm sure you've heard that said. You don't have to be very astute to come up with that observation. Anxiety, fear, dread, panic. Panic at home, panic at the hospital, panic at the supermarket. Over and over again. My, we need to hear the words of the Savior. We need to have our pure mind stirred up, amen, that we can remember the words of the Savior. And if we remember the words, if we remember what the Master said, just like those that came to prepare his body, so cast down, so heavy with sorrow, amen, the words of the Lord will bring comfort and hope to our cheer. To our heart, it'll bring cheer, amen, comfort, hope, and cheer to our hearts. And we'll be able to lift up our eyes and look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. It comes from the Lord. Let me read a couple scriptures from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 49 to 50. This is a tremendous number of passages in this psalm. The 119th psalm talks a lot about the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 49, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." The psalmist found the word to be his comfort. The psalmist found the word of God to be his hope. And then we go to Psalm 119 and verse 114. It says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." What a declaration. What a declaration. Can you make that declaration? Can you say, "I hope in the word of God"? The word of God is sure. Amen. The word of God will never pass away. It will always be there. Amen. You can stand on God's word. It'll help you. It'll cheer you. Amen. It'll lift you up when you're feeling down. Thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. Now over to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of how much comfort? So much? Huh? Little bit? How much comfort? The God of till it runs out? Doesn't say that. Amen. Said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He can comfort you through this time, saints. He can comfort you through this time, dear listener. Amen. There's no reason for us to despair. There's no reason to wring our hands, throw our hands up in the air. Amen. To do anything that's unreasonable, thank God he wants to comfort us, and he is the God of all comfort. Now, this is a selection for the Amplified in 2 Corinthians 1 and 4. And this goes back and forth. And Paul oftentimes in his writing, Paul sometimes wrote in ways that weren't always easy to understand. Paul was a very learned man, and he was an excellent writer. It's rather ironic that most of the New Testament are comprised of his epistles, of Paul's epistles. Though he was maybe been hard to understand, how many sermons have been preached from the epistles that Paul wrote to the early church? Well, he writes here in 2 Corinthians 1 and 4, and I'm going to read from the Amplified, talking about Christ. We know Christ is the Word. He's the Word of God become flesh. Who comforts us, he consoles us, he encourages us in every trouble, in every calamity, in every affliction, so that we may also be able then to comfort and console and encourage others. Those who are in any kind of trouble or distress, oh, it pays us to remember the words of the Master. It pays us to remember his words. Not only will they comfort us, but then we are able then to take that comfort that we receive through God's word, and we are able to comfort others who we care for and whom we love. It says, so that we may also be able to comfort, console, encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort, back to consolation and encouragement, which we ourselves are comforted by that which we've been consoled and encouraged, and that by God. You see, Paul goes back and forth, back and forth. But his point is very, very clear. The comfort that we find from God through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the Word, we can take that same comfort and we can deliver it to others. No matter their distress, no matter their broken heart, no matter their trouble of mind, no matter their hopelessness, their despair, we are able then to deliver the comfort by which we also have been comforted. One of my favorite passages within God's Word, and I've preached a series on this, Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. This psalm is often used at funerals, and it's a psalm that can be used at any time. But I like to think of this psalm as a psalm for the living, a psalm that matters. And I'm only going to read one verse out of this. That is Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know what the rod and the staff is? You can think of it as something literal. You can think of the shepherd with his staff or his rod, that which he uses to protect his sheep. Amen. To keep his sheep in line, to keep them from straying, but also uses it to fight against the wolf or the predator that would come and prey on the sheep. You can think of it in literal terms, but it has more significance than the literal. Thy rod and thy staff. It's making reference to the word of God. Thy rod and thy staff. This word of God. The word of God which in so many words, I mean, it definitely keeps his people in line. Amen. Walking in the way that God would want us to walk, to keep his sheep, amen, walking the way that he would want them to walk. It's also used, amen, to fend off the predator from God's elect. But this is a comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they're a comfort to me. And I have found this many times as a pastor. There's been many times over the years that I have pastored, soon to be 23 years of pastoring this congregation, that my heart has been heavy. My heart's been heavy because of personal tragedy, personal hurt. My heart's been heavy because of tragedy and hurt and loss of the people in the congregation, of friends who are not even in the congregation. My heart has been heavy. Family, relatives. And I've got into this pulpit right here many times feeling rather heavy of heart. But once I've opened up the Word of God and opened up the outline that I've prepared, there is not a place of greater comfort than behind this pulpit for me, because I am handling the rod and the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I have found that to be the case over and over and over again. And that's why I can go back to what Paul said to the Corinthians in his second epistle. He's, by what I am comforted through the word, I can then deliver it to others that need to be comforted. But it's just not for the ministry. It's just not for the preacher, the pastor. It's something that you too can do. I want you to know that our faith in his holy word is not in vain. It is not in vain. I get tired of people discrediting Christianity. I get people saying there's nothing to it. It's just a fallacy. It's just something that isn't true. I get tired of people trying to disprove the miracles of Christ, the miracles that God performed for the children of Israel. Over and over again, they try to disprove things. I've already said, if someone asked me, how do you know he lives? How do you know he rose again victorious on that third day? I would answer simply, because I know it lives within my heart. And I know the change that took place in my life. The man that I used to be and what I became. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 to 14, another passage that I cherish, Paul writing. He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. There were even people back in the early morning time debating whether the resurrection had taken place. Some had made shipwreck concerning the faith because of this very doctrinal subject, the resurrection. And Paul says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. But he doesn't stop there. In verse 14, he says, and if Christ be not risen, listen to me, he says, listen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. Christ's ministry was in vain. All his missionary journeys were in vain. The things he went through were in vain. The stonings, amen, the shipwreck, being left over to the city in a basket, amen, to escape with his life. All that was in vain. But, oh, Paul knew better. We know better. He said, our preaching is in vain if there's no resurrection. He says, and your faith is also in vain. How is it with your faith? My faith is not in vain. The word of God, amen, is true. It is sure. and I can place my confidence and my trust in God's word, I can remember his word. It'll lift my heart and lift my spirit. It'll give me new strength to go on another day. Press on another day from victory to victory. Amen. It'll keep my mind. Oh, there's a peace of God that keeps the mind, that keeps the heart. It's that peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. This is not in vain. The resurrection took place. This preaching is not in vain, no matter what people say, no matter how people scoff. This preaching is not in vain, and neither is your faith in Jesus Christ. No, it's not in vain. He is risen. He is risen. Because he lives, so does our faith and hope in him. Because he lives, we can remain strong in this present distress. Man, we don't have to falter. We don't have to get all panicky and dread and feel like there's no hope and dread what the next thing is going to be that's going to come against us or our family. Man, God's grace will be sufficient. He's God of all comfort. He'll be there and he will see us through. Because he lives, we can remain strong in this present distress through this pandemic. As I was putting this outline together, it was one of those times I was just praying as I was studying, praying as I was preparing this outline. I said, Lord, help me at this time. Help me at this time. Help me always, Lord. Help me to remember your words. Preachers need to remember his words. Amen. If the preacher doesn't remember, if the preacher doesn't believe, who's going to tell the sheep? Who's going to tell the congregation? Who's going to tell you this morning, dear one? Lord, at this time and always, help us to remember your words. Malachi writes over in chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Don't forget that. He is still God. He is still God. He is powerful as he has always been. He is in his rightful place. Keep him there. Keep Christ in his rightful place. Keep the Holy Spirit in his rightful place. Thank God, amen, for the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are right in their rightful place. Well, if God was God, he wouldn't allow this to go on. Don't question God. Questioning God brings unbelief. Questioning God brings unbelief. Don't question God. Don't play that game. Well, if God was God, he wouldn't allow this to happen and that wouldn't happen. That has nothing to do with God. Amen. Things happen. Man sinned one day. Man disobeyed Christ, or disobeyed God. He was driven out of the garden. Adam and Eve, they were driven out of the garden. And from that time on, amen, there has been a penalty of sin. Man, why did God? Don't get into that. You're just going to question yourself, amen, right down a blind alley. And as you go down that blind alley, the devil is going to feast on you. We have an adversary. He's a roaring lion, and he's looking to whom he may devour. He wants to devour souls. He wants to devour the faithless. He wants to devour the weak. Man, questioning God brings unbelief. I am the Lord, I change not. That's what matters. Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what matters. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Another passage of scripture, and there are so many, but another passage of scripture we need to pray, Lord, help us to remember your words. John 14 and 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you comfortless. I hope this message this morning was a comfort to you. I hope you opened your heart up to it, and I hope you had enough faith in that heart of yours to receive the comfort that I wanted you to receive, that God wanted you to receive. I hope you had enough faith in your heart as you opened it up to the Word of God, the message being preached today, amen, that your hope has been strengthened and you've felt comforted and you know that God was going to see you through. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Ye see me. Do you see Christ? Huh? Because I live, ye shall live also. In verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. On that day, that final day, the judgment day. Christ is coming back, dear one. His return, his second advent is pending. He could come at any time. But what is incumbent for you and I to do is to remember his words. Those that are not prepared, to prepare for that last day, that day. And those that are prepared, to remain prepared. And if we are going to remain prepared, then we will be every day remembering his words. We're going to close at this time. You have a song?